Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful, restful weekend and opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Day. What a gift, friends. What a gift to be able to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. He fulfills his promise. He said, I will be with you always. And he's come to feed us and to strengthen us. And it's easy for some reason to not grasp the significance of what the Eucharist is, the gift of the Lord himself, the source and summit of the faith. I mean, the teaching of the church is very clear. But I think statistically, you can see how many people are deciding not to participate on a weekly basis at Mass, how disconnected many people are in being able to understand the real presence and what's really at the center. And what we have there, friends, is Christ fulfilling his promise to the Father, his yes to the Father, that is, he offered himself as a living sacrifice for the salvation of the world. Jesus came to take away sin. He came to restore our relationship with God the Father. He did it by becoming one of us first, by taking on human flesh and being born of a woman, born of Our Lady, right? The blood of Mary running through his veins. Jesus became one of us so he could give to God what belongs to God, what each and every one of us was meant to give to God. But because of the fall, because of Adam's sin, Adam and Eve's sin, and the reality of original sin, the reality of concupiscence, and sin's hold on us, we're under the reign of sin, Paul would say in the scriptures. And Jesus came to break the power of the reign of sin, to take away sin from us. And so Jesus did that by becoming a sacrifice for us. And so much happened when Jesus died, that great act of love by which we're saved. He not only took away sin by being a perfect offering to God, a perfect sacrifice for sin, his blood cleanses us, Scripture says, and cleanses our conscience. But in that act of love, he, in love for us, saves us. But in love for the Father, he gives to the Father what the Father intended from the human race from the beginning, from us who are made in God's image and likeness. We were made to radically love God, to live in union with God. What it means to be human means to be, first, you're God's idea. God made you. You belong to him. You're made in his image and likeness, and you're made for union with God, to be in communion with him forever. That's the only place and any human being will ever ultimately find happiness. Happiness is in God alone, because we're made for more than what creation can give us, even at its heights. The beautiful creation God has given us and the wonders of life here on earth, they're good things, but they're analogies. They point to the fundamental good that every one of us is made for and what we long for, the fulfillment of all desire, right? The desire to be loved, to know love, and that ultimately means to know the source of all love, which is God himself. And Jesus gives to God, the Father, the firstborn Son, he gives to the Father what each one of us was called and created to give to God the Father, which is that radical love, the abandonment of our life in trust to God. And that love, as the heavens calculated, right? As the heavens think about love, it's love is expressed in obedience. Jesus obeyed the Father. It was his food. It was his freedom. It was his life. And he perfectly offered himself to God in that love on the cross. And it's in God's wisdom and plan that the sacrifice which saves us would be the center of our faith. It's the reality around which we gather as a sinful people, healed and delivered and forgiven, but called together across the whole world, every tribe, every nation, every language, every tongue, to come to Christ and to unite ourselves in the offering that Jesus makes to the Father. We join him. In fact, friends, we're able to be united to God the Father and to make a right offering of praise and worship and surrender to God through Jesus. He's the one that opens the door to heaven. He's the one who opens the heart of the Father to us, right? He's the one who brings us to the Father and to the throne room. And that offering of Jesus is the offering which saves the world, which saves all those who say yes to him and his offer of sacrifice. And that offering, I mentioned this a number of weeks ago, It stuck in my mind while visiting China last year. That offering will be made for the glory of his name until he comes again in glory, when he will judge the living and the dead. But a perfect offering will be made from God's good creation, from a human person. And it's Jesus Christ, the firstborn of a new creation. And because we share in the life of Jesus, because we've been baptized into Christ, because the stain of original sin is taken away, because our sins can be forgiven by his grace through the sacraments, we can be united to him in the Holy Spirit through baptism. We become united to Jesus, and Jesus is forming, St. Paul says, one new man, which is the church. Jesus is the head of a new race of people who he is orienting to the Father. And he's bringing us and calling us out of the world in indifference toward God, rebellion against God, distraction from God, laziness and sloth toward God and the things of God. Jesus has come to destroy all that in us, to put it to death, and to awaken something new in us, to give us a new heart, to give us his own heart, so that we will come into the very thing for which we were made, that is to live as children of God. That is your greatest dignity. And no matter where you are on the hierarchy of success in the world, no matter what you're accomplishing in this world, and hopefully the things you're doing and accomplishing, you're doing great things, hopefully, in obedience to God, using the gifts and the talents that God has given to you. But no matter what you achieve, no matter the standards of the world, no matter how much money you make, no matter how famous you become, no matter how strong, how popular, whatever it is that the world adores, you could have all that the world offers. You could be history's greatest achiever. But nothing would add to your value that you don't already have, you might say. Because what we have that's most valuable is what we've been given. You're valuable and I'm valuable, in fact, of infinite value, because God made us. Because we're made in his image and likeness. We're of great value because God says so. He values us. That's why we're valuable. The things that the world values are often worthless. And they die when we die. They pass away. They even die before that. They're here quickly and they're gone. But they can't add to the best this world can give is secondary to what we have from God as the fundamental value of our lives. What makes us whole and good and beautiful and wonderful is the fact that we're God's creation, that we bear God's image, and we become, through Christ, sons and daughters of God. And we access that reality through faith, through saying yes to him, through repenting of sin, that is turning away from a life that offends God, really. Turn away from sin, say yes to the gift of Jesus' offer of salvation, enter the waters of baptism to have our sins forgiven, and be given the gift of the Holy Spirit so we literally can be, as Jesus said, born again by water and the Spirit. We're born again. We become something new. We, by the grace and work of Jesus, what the Father's intended us to be, we enter into through the gifts that come to us through Jesus in the church. And it's at the Eucharist where we are more, most perfectly who we are. We are a body. We're one body in Christ. We're a communion of people called to live for God, love God, worship God, and serve him. We're a missionary communion that gets sent from that liturgy at the end of Mass when the priest says, go, ite missa est in Latin. Go what? Go fulfill the mission, the Great Commission. Go love God, love neighbor, and make disciples with your whole life. It orients us toward God. It feeds us in word and in sacrament. So it's a beautiful thing. And if you happen to be listening to the program today and you're not regularly attending Mass on the Lord's Day, I want to encourage you to do it. It's so important. In fact, it's a commandment. We're called to do it. It's a sin to just decide on our own. We're just simply not going to go. I mean, if you're sick and other reasons, there's reasons certainly for not going. But fundamentally, this ought to be the best day of the week for each one of us, the most important day of the week for all those who call themselves disciples of Jesus. One of the things I've been meditating on over the last number of weeks is St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, and inspired partly the comments I've just been making, because not so much because it's Eucharistic in its center, but it's what it is it's clarity about the gospel. It is a strong polemical defense by Paul for the core of the gospel, that salvation comes through faith and surrendering our lives totally to Jesus Christ through repentance and baptism. And it doesn't come from the law, from fulfilling the law. Even though we're called to, Jesus came to fulfill every, in himself, he did fill the law full, because at the center of the law is love, right? It's loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbors yourself. Jesus is the one human being who did it. He loved God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. So he filled the law full. He gave to God what the human race was meant to give to God. And so Paul's wrestling here with Judaizers, with Jewish people who are trying to convince the Galatians that faith and baptism is not enough, that they need to be circumcised and they need to fulfill all the requirements of the law, of ceremonial law, of the law of Moses and the rest. And Paul's he's just really fired up in this letter. It's strong. He's passionate. He's passionate about his defense of where union with God comes from and where salvation comes from. And it comes from the gift of Jesus Christ's death on the cross. And as I said, entering into that gift with our whole lives. So what I'd like to do the rest of today, just in the last couple of minutes, and then dive into it throughout the week, is just touch on elements from Galatians, because it's so inspiring and it can help us understand who we are. I think that's one of the most important things for all of us today as believers. We need to know who we are. I mean, the whole world's about defining itself, right? It's as if the whole meaning of life is self-definition. Disciples don't believe that. We don't believe that for one minute. I'm not here to define myself. I'm here to exercise my freedom toward God and receiving who God thinks I am. There's a song out that I like these days. It says, I am who you say I am, God. And I say yes to who you made me. I don't call on you, God, to genuflect to my self-creation. I belong to you. And it's the only place I'll find happiness and salvation. There's a beautiful line here in the first chapter. Paul says, verse 3, he says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. A greeting, a pretty common greeting for Paul. He says, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God, of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We're living for the greater glory of God, for the glory of our Father. That's what a disciple and a child of God is. But Paul says, he reminds us, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave himself for our sins. He came to take away sin, to deliver us from this present age, present evil age. We live in a fallen world, a world that's subject to sin, that's still under the reign and dominion of sin. And if we're under that reign and in that dominion, we're enemies of God. And Paul is rejoicing because Jesus came and broke the power of sin to free us and give us a capacity to live a new way of life. I'm going to begin tomorrow's show taking up this theme. I hope you can join me and ask others to do the same. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.